You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
MVP. On the road at Toronto, a team that entered tonight at 46-18. The Rockets had squandered a large first-half lead, trailed entering the fourth quarter. James Harden, the reigning league MVP, and clearly, in my opinion, frontrunner for a second one, just 6 of 23 on the night. It looked like one that could get away from the Rockets, in part because the stars weren't producing. And then, in the fourth quarter, James Harden, after going just 6 of 23 in the first three quarters, went 6 of 7 in the fourth quarter for 19 points, ending up with 35 for the game. I know he was a minus 10 in the plus minus. That lies, because this was a game that went both directions. It was there for the taking for either side entering the fourth, which the Rockets trailed, and they won going away 107-95 over a very good Toronto Raptors team. It's a sweep for the Rockets over one of the Eastern Conference's best teams in a potential NBA Finals preview. It's their sixth win in a row, and it ties them for the West number three seed when coupled with losses by Oklahoma City and Portland tonight. All three of those squads are 39-25, and if they finish in a three-way tie, the Rockets would likely win that. They would at the moment, because they are the only one of those three teams that would currently be a division champion. So regardless of head-to-head, if it's a three-team tie, the first tiebreaker is division winner. And by virtue of the Rockets being in the Southwest and none of Dallas, San Antonio, Memphis, New Orleans being any sort of threat to take the division, then that has the Rockets poised in any three-plus team tiebreaker scenario to be in a very good spot. So on that joyous note, welcome in to a lit post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Tuesday evening, the Rockets, as mentioned, are victorious for their sixth consecutive game. It ties their longest winning streak of the year, and this particular streak going 2-0 on an Eastern Conference road trip against heavyweights Boston and Toronto. The Raptors, even with the loss, are still 46-19. It's hard to state how impressive that is. James Harden and Chris Paul, they played on Sunday in a game in which the Rockets had to expend a lot of effort to beat a quality Celtics team. Kawhi Leonard, the Raptors' best player and who led the way for them with 26 points tonight, actually sat out Sunday for load management. And yet, it did not matter because James Harden, the Rockets' defense, even Chris Paul, who was 1 of 10, his worst game since the All-Star break from a shooting perspective by far, his assists with 10, just 2 turnovers, those were good. And Houston's collective team defense, I thought, was excellent, limiting Toronto to just 37 points in the first half. That was following up on a performance Sunday in which they limited Boston to just 43 points in the first half. That gave them big leads in both of those games. We'll talk about that as we move our way through our usual 3 points recap in segment two and segment three. We'll also give a shout out to Houston's bench, led by Austin Rivers and Gerald Green. Those two guys on Sunday had just 6 points on, I believe, 2 of 9 combined shooting. Tonight, they had 31 points on 10 of 16 shooting, and both of them, especially Austin, were impactful defensively. Rivers was plus 17 in the plus minus, Gerald Green was plus 23. The bench for the Rockets, even on a night that the starters, at least from an efficiency standpoint, James Harden, 12 of 30 with the big fourth quarter, it still only put him at 40% for the game. Chris Paul, as mentioned, just 1 of 10, but the bench was enough to override that. A lot of that had to do with Austin Rivers and Gerald Green, and a lot of that had to do with the energy which they played with, which speaks to their defensive effort. We'll talk about that in latter segments as well. But off the top, to me, the biggest storyline of this game is what James Harden did in the fourth quarter. Because forget the fact that the Rockets had a 20-point lead in the first half. The reality is that Toronto had a 2-point lead entering the fourth quarter. They had overcome it. Houston was up big at the break, 55-37. Toronto went out, they punched them in the mouth. It felt like a lot of games, which this season the Rockets have let get away. Now, in this case, I don't think it's fair to say the Rockets lacked intensity. I think a lot of it, Toronto is just a really good team and playing at home. They were going to make some runs. The point is, though, by the time it got to winning time in the fourth quarter, regardless of the reality that the game was close, the momentum had clearly gone in Toronto's favor. James Harden was not getting a lot of whistles tonight. You could see him at times demonstrably upset. Got to the free throw line 8 times, and of those, majority came in the fourth quarter. The first three, especially, he was not getting a friendly whistle whatsoever. Also, I thought Danny Green and Kyle Lowry each had just splendid stretches of defense on him, amongst the best we've seen all season long. There's a reason Toronto has won 46 games and lost only 19, and they're even better than that at home. It's one of the toughest places to play. Think back to a year ago when the Rockets were 65-17. One of their only losses, and the one that snapped the 17-game winning streak, was in Toronto in March. That is a really, really difficult place to play, and these Rockets, for their sixth consecutive win, got it. And to get back to the theme of James Harden, even though it was quote-unquote just a 12-of-30 game, he had just 3 assists, plus-minus would tell you he was minus 10. Some minutes over an NBA game are more impactful than others. And in the fourth quarter, when there were so many stars out there, obviously James and Chris from a Houston perspective, Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, as far as Toronto goes, so many guys are there and at least physically able to take over a game in that setting. It's just a matter of who is going to do it. And with the game teetering in the balance now, the Rockets bench did go out. Gerald Green, we mentioned, had 18 points. Chris Paul had 10 assists. They had a big role with Harden out of the game early in the fourth quarter in building up that lead again. James Harden, though, had still a role to play in terms of actually shutting the door, and that's what he did. And of his 12 makes tonight, only 3 were from behind the three-point arc. So from all you hear about free throws and step-back threes, that's all there is to James Harden. That's been a lot of his success because he's worked really hard at that. But he didn't get a lot of calls tonight. He didn't make a lot of threes. And he still made 9 shots inside the arc, including numerous floaters down the stretch of the game. That's the shot that he's worked so hard at. Was a weakness 2 years ago. He took a big step forward a year ago. And now, after taking a step forward to getting a little bit above average, he's one of the best in the game at that shot. Which, as I said, Sunday shows you that even at 29 years old, he is still evolving. He is still improving. And that's why, even coming off an MVP last year, he's even better this year. And no offense to Giannis or Paul George, but in my estimation, this game, 19 points in the fourth quarter after struggling so much in the first three, it shows you why he is the MVP, to go on the road against a team of that caliber and shut the door. And what makes it more impressive is that it's not a game like Boston where it came relatively easy for him. He had 42. The game before that against Miami, he had 58. As mentioned, he started 6 of 23. Some of the best things that you can learn about NBA players are based on how they face adversity. Because in the playoffs, I don't care who you are, you're going to face it. Defenses are rested, they're locked in on you, you're playing the best teams. There are going to be moments where your shots aren't going and you can't, if the threes aren't falling, just get to the rim for an easy layup or a foul and get yourself going. You're just going to have to play through it. And tonight, the officials weren't giving him anything, his shots weren't falling, there was every excuse for James Harden to check out. Even as recently as a couple of years ago, we know how things went late in Game 5 of that Spurs series against, of all defenders, actually, Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, and then Danny Green in Game 6. There's always a bit of a misnomer about Harden versus Kawhi. It was more Harden versus Danny Green. That's the guy who spent the majority of the time on him. Tonight it was split between Kyle Lowry and Danny Green. But with two of those same guys out there from that series, it was just amazing to see how much Harden has grown mentally. Because on the road, one of the more intimidating environments in the NBA, not getting anything to go his way, the team blowing a big first half lead. And again, I think that's a little misleading. It's not like the intensity really dipped. Toronto made a run, and the Rockets just couldn't make shots. And you combine those two, it's going to be tough to hold up a lead over 48 minutes if James Harden and Chris Paul are not making shots on the offensive end of the floor. I thought the Rockets' attention to detail was fine. I just thought they needed to make more shots, and in the fourth quarter, they did. Houston scored 38 as a team, outscored Toronto 38-24, but the big story was James Harden with 19. And, of course, he had 30-plus again. He's done that in all but one game. He's had 28-plus in, God, I can't even keep track of how long that streak has gone. To me, though, this game stands out as one of his best of the entire season. I know statistically it won't look like it because 35 points, 12 of 30 shooting, minus 10. But this is a game where, to me, the box score, the plus-minus, can lie a little bit. in that kind of environment against a quality team on the road that are key inflection points. And after Toronto had that gym rocking, overcoming the deficit, Harden not getting the whistle, seeming a bit miffed and out of it at times in this game with a lot of the things that were going on, to be able to come back in the final 9 minutes of the fourth quarter and take over that game the way he did, even being seemingly out of rhythm, the great ones have an ability, even when things aren't going their way, on a dime in a game, they can turn it. That's what we saw from James Harden tonight. So when it comes to predictive value in the playoffs, you've heard me saying that a lot lately. Of course, a lot of it comes down to how the Rockets play against elite competition. They're 3-0 against the Warriors. They're now 2-0 against Toronto. They've beaten Oklahoma City. They've beaten Boston twice. They've beaten Denver twice. They've beaten so many good teams all season long. That bodes well. But beyond just the wins, you want to see moments where even if things aren't going your way, because that's going to happen in the playoffs, that your team and especially your star players can rise above it. And to me, that's what we saw with James Harden tonight. So I know some of the box score metrics, plus minus, field goal efficiency, those types of things, it'll seem like a solid game for James, but nothing to write home about. But to me, in terms of his MVP candidacy, this is one of the games that you will remember, because against an elite opponent on the road with so many things not going his way, when it mattered, he found a way to rise above it. Sure, he hit a couple of threes. That helps. He also hit some floaters on the way to the bucket. He got fouled. It didn't matter who guarded him. Kyle Lowry at times, Kawhi Leonard in one sequence, Danny Green in others. It didn't matter. James Harden had all the answers, even on a night where in the first three quarters, he didn't. And to me, as far as MVP goes, that might be the most impressive of all, and it certainly might be the most encouraging when it comes to predicting what's going to happen down the road in April, May, and hopefully June, maybe even against the same Toronto Raptors. We'll have to wait and see on that front. Jumping back into Tuesday evening show, our recap of the 107-95 win the Rockets posted over the Raptors. For the game as a whole, I would say the standout for Houston, a team that's been bottom 5 to bottom 10 all season long on defense, was holding Toronto to 95 points. I didn't lead with that, however, because of how stupendous James Harden was in the final 9 minutes of that game, scoring 19 points and overcoming a very slow start in the process. Nonetheless, over 48 minutes, it takes a balanced effort to win. And in terms of the first three quarters, when James Harden and Chris Paul were a combined 7 of 31, somehow Houston was only down 2 points. And that's because of the defense with which they played. It's two consecutive games. They've come out, especially in the first half, and been brilliant. 43 points allowed on Sunday in Boston, then 37 points allowed tonight. And it follows up two games against Charlotte and Miami last week, in which they allowed 69, very not nice, in back-to-back first halves in those games. So they've clearly turned it up a notch against the upper echelon opponents. That continues a theme that we've said all season long. The Rockets need to bring the same attention to detail against lesser teams that they do against the upper echelon ones. We'll have an opportunity to test that starting Sunday. They have one more tough game Friday against the Sixers. Then the schedule gets a lot easier. Dallas, Charlotte, they do have one game against the Warriors next week. Can they go 4-0? We'll have to wait and see. That one's in Houston next Wednesday. Then Phoenix, Minnesota, a long homestand. Not really any good opponents for a while other than the Warriors next Wednesday. So we'll have to look next week at how the defense translates this effort in Boston and Toronto. Can it be the same when you're in Toyota Center and comfortable at home and lethargic gems against so-so opponents? That's what we'll find out next week. But for now, I think you can celebrate with this performance, and I think it bodes very well for the playoffs, clearly, because with the Rockets, even tonight, you're tied for the number 3 seed. I think the 1 seed is probably out of play. Now, who knows? Maybe even the number 2 is in play. Denver lost last night. The Rockets are now within 4 games of them, and they do have one game left against the Nuggets on the 28th. That would bring them within 3 and give them the tiebreaker in 2-team scenarios, so who knows? Maybe that's not out of play, but I think barring just a catastrophic collapse from the Warriors, you're not going to get the 1 seed, so at some point you're going to have to win, and even if you do get the top seed, well, we saw even before the Warriors series, you lost Game 2 against the Jazz last year. It's not really reasonable to win all of your home games, and at some point you're just going to go out on the road and execute in tough environments, and we've seen the Rockets do that, so many impressive road wins all season long, including 2 this week against Boston and Toronto. This is another one, and it starts with the defensive effort. And to see them have back-to-back games where they succeeded on that end of the floor, I think it bodes really, really well. certainly they need more consistency. But when they're rested, when the lights are brightest, I think you're seeing some signs that maybe in the playoffs, the Rockets defense can be better than what it is over the balance of 82 games. Because a lot of these veterans, especially the starters, CP3, Harden, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, they're the types that if you give full effort, 110%, to use the cliches, of our 82 games, they're going to wear down. But in these bigger settings, they're able to elevate and take it to another level. I think that potentially bodes well for the playoffs. And then the big difference is that bench unit. Austin Rivers, Gerald Green, their energy is infectious. Also, Gary Clark tonight. This is his third straight game in the rotation. He was pretty good. 11 minutes. Didn't score, but he was a plus 17, which I think shows you the level of effort that he plays with. Had two blocks and two steals in there. Nene, in 14 minutes, I thought was very impactful. 6 points, five boards, had a 20-second stretch in the fourth quarter where he just clowned Jeremy Lin and helping the Rockets start to build that lead in the first minute or two of the fourth. Really, though, it goes back to Austin Rivers and Gerald Green. We talked Sunday about Eric Gordon being a variable. Well, for different reasons, Austin Rivers and Gerald Green are. Certainly offensively, they went from 6 points, 2 of 9 collective shooting on Sunday, to 31 points tonight on 10 of 16. That's a huge upgrade. And then from 3, they were 7 of 11. Austin, 3 of 4. Gerald, 4 of 7. Always helps when you make threes, especially at night when James Harden is 3 of 9 behind the arc and Chris Paul, 0 of 3. Rockets as a team, 15 of 34, even with CP3 and James not playing that well. That speaks to Austin Rivers and Gerald Green off the bench. Beyond their shooting, though, I think those two defensively, no one would mistake Gerald Green individually as a dynamic defender, but I think his energy is infectious. It means a lot for the team. Even if he's beaten in a play, he's able to recover just based on the motor that he plays with. Nene, in a limited sample, even at 36 years old, he's able to kind of turn it up if you're able to cap his minutes at 15 or lower. We know what Gary Clark can do. And then Austin Rivers, I've said for a while, his oddball defense is the best on the Houston team. He has a very valuable role against the quick twitch guards. I would throw Kyle Lowry into that mix, even though he's a bit older. He's tough for Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, one of those guys to check. You needed 25 big minutes from Austin Rivers tonight. It helped that he made shots, but defensively, he can do some things that not many other guys on the floor can do for the Rockets. Even PJ Tucker, you don't want him spending a lot of time on guards at his age and at his height and weight. You can do it for certain stretches. You can't ask him to do it for 48 minutes. You need Austin Rivers on-ball defense. The problem over the first 2.5 months that he's been in Houston since arriving on Christmas Eve, well, first off, his shot has been inconsistent. He's shown some progress on that front the last couple of weeks. His elbow, his hand, he's had some various issues with his shooting arm. That seems to be healthy since the All-Star break, and his shot is falling into form, so that helps him stay on the floor longer. Beyond that, though, I think some of the things that he needs to clean up, his first month to 6 weeks, he was a terrible off-ball defender. He would just blow plays away from the ball, get beaten backdoor, and he's never been great at that in his career. But when I've watched him before with the Wizards, with the Clippers, while it wasn't the strength, it also wasn't the enormous liability that it was his first 6 weeks in Houston. Maybe some of it had to do with the injuries he was going through, but I think a more plausible explanation, it's a new scheme, it's a new defense, it's new teammates, so he's trying to learn their tendencies, what they like to do on the defensive end, and I think there was just some general uncertainty. Well, now, as he is getting into his third month with the team, I think you're seeing him get more confident, and if he makes shots, not even to the extent he did tonight, which he was 5 of 8, that helps. Don't want to forget Eric Gordon, second consecutive big game for him, 13 points, 5 of 9. Doesn't feel like he did a lot because most of those came early, but Eric Gordon shooting 3 of 5 from 3, 5 of 9 overall. Yeah, that's a very welcome sign to see him back up what he did on Sunday when he had 32 with another big game. We'll throw an honorable mention to him as far as our recap goes. March Eric Gordon, hashtag Gordon Madness, is taking effect. Karthik Prasad had a great chart on his Twitter feed at Stanford KP showing that throughout Gordon's career, he's been better in March. That seems to be continuing that trend to this point. So even though it's just 2 games, that's a welcome development. As far as Rivers, to some extent, shooting, it's the same story. He needs to make enough to keep defenders honest. Defensively, though, you know what he's going to give you as an on-ball defender. It's just, is he going to offset the advantages he gives you on the ball with what he gives up away from it? And too often the first month or so of the season, or his season with the Rockets, that's what was happening. lately, that's not happened. And it helps that he's making more shots. You can keep him on the floor for 25 minutes, which you needed for top-notch defense and high IQ play. But beyond that, I think there's also just more trust that there's not going to be a weak link in the chain when it comes to the rotations. He has cleaned a lot of that up, and that's part of how the Rockets, some of his better effort overall, and again, some of it translates or is relatable to the Rockets playing better opponents. Will that persist once you get home against weaker ones? That's what next week will be about. That'll be a key storyline to watch. Overall effort was better. Beyond just effort, though, I also think the personnel was better. Austin Rivers, when he is engaged, when he is making shots, and when he pays attention to detail away from the ball, he can be a really good defender for you. It's just a matter of his shooting and his off-ball defense not offsetting his athletic advantages as someone that can deny dribble penetration. Tonight, it did not, and the Rockets reaped the benefits, allowing Toronto just 95 points in their gym. So while James Harden was the lead story, in my opinion, because of how he closed the game, there are certain minutes over an NBA game that are more important and more impactful than others. At the same time, to beat a good team like Toronto on the road, it can't just be 12 minutes. You've got to have 48 minutes where you at least hang around. And on a night in which the first three quarters, James Harden and Chris Paul struggled to throw it in the ocean, it was actually the Rockets' collective effort and defense, two things that have been inconsistent all season long, that had them hanging around within striking distance. And ultimately, that's what kept the Rockets within two to where that closing fourth quarter flurry was enough. So while James Harden, I think, is going to be the lead of SportsCenter and all their written recaps of this story, don't forget about the defense and Austin Rivers, who I think kind of sparked that. To me, the first half, along just 37 points, was splendid. And for all the whining that goes on about giving up leads, there's a couple of things. Number one, Toronto, good teams like that, they're going to make runs. Second, don't you want to play from in front? Because even though Toronto did take a two-point lead, think of how much energy they had to expend in that third quarter just to get up by two. And then when the Rockets hit them with just the slightest run in the fourth quarter, it felt overwhelming. You could tell that they were out of gas. So I'd much rather play from in front than from behind. Because even if the other team goes on a run in the middle of a game, well, you, by virtue of building up that lead, are going to force them to expend so much energy to get back in the game. And then if you have guys like James Harden and Chris Paul that are able to shut the door in the fourth quarter when it's winning time, yeah, I'm not going to complain about a stretch in the middle of a game, a lull where the opponent might get back into it after going down. No, I'm going to celebrate taking the game seriously from the outset and building that big lead to where even though Toronto was able to make a run, it got them, what, up 2 points, which was nowhere near enough of a cushion to offset what was to come from James Harden in the fourth quarter. So to me, any worries about the lead going away are dwarfed by the intensity at which the Rockets started the game defensively, the importance of that for a team that struggled on that side all season long, and then, of course, the way James Harden, the MVP, was able to finish it. This is a night, in my opinion, to celebrate if you are a Houston Rockets fan. Final thoughts as we close out Tuesday evening show. The Rockets were not at full strength in the 107-95 win over Toronto. Ken Fareed, Iman Shumpert still out. Fareed, it goes back to Thursday, the knee he took in that game against, no, it was last Wednesday in Charlotte. That was something that clearly bothered him. He went to the locker room early that game, tried to play through it. They thought he'd come back Sunday against Boston. He was planning to, but the knee didn't respond to the on-court pregame workout as they had hoped, or the hip, I should say. And if that happened Sunday afternoon, it was hard to imagine that 48 hours later would be that much better. It makes more sense the Rockets not playing again until Friday night against the Sixers to give that a few extra days off, and hopefully that's healed. Nothing structural there. It's just a bruise. When you get hit on your hip, that's a sensitive body part, and oftentimes, especially for a guy who throws his body around like Fareed does, there's not much that can heal that other than time. And it's a shame that he went out because we thought that the defense would have to get improved in terms of rebounding, and it's not that that's not true. Actually, the Rockets were only out-rebounded 47-43 tonight by a much bigger Toronto team. Siakam off the bench. They start with Leonard and Ibaka. Actually, no, Siakam starts. It's Marc Gasol, of all people, their trade deadline acquisition, who comes off the bench, played just 18 minutes tonight. So used to assuming Gasol as a starter. Point is, Siakam, Leonard, Ibaka, Gasol, there is so much height and length out there. And for Houston, without Kenneth Fareed, one of your better rebounders and one of your only tall players, to be within four, of course, it takes a lot of guys to collectively gang rebound. Nene had five in his 14 minutes tonight. PJ Tucker had 5. Chris Paul had 6. But Clint Capella had 15. Just 9 points, but he stayed out there 34 minutes. A big story in past seasons was, against elite opponents, how much can Clint Capella stay out there? And so to see him match the energy, the physical play inside, made 4 of his 7 shots, that's a really encouraging sign. As mentioned, I do think the Rockets are going to get Furry back. I don't know if they'll put him back in the starting lineup for now. I don't know that it's safe to say that experiment, the Twin Towers of Fried and Capella, I don't think that's gone. Even if they don't start, you can still see it for certain stretches in the game if they need it. Also, the Rockets playing some weaker teams coming up. Well, certainly those could be opportunities to experiment a bit. I don't think it's so much the experiment went wrong. I think it's that as they were starting to try it, going back and forth, Fried got hurt, and now you're in this new rhythm. You also don't have Iman Shumpert, who missed another game with his sore calf. Those are potential impact pieces defensively. There's reasons you got those guys during the season. Fried, back up 5 minutes, his energy, his rebounding. Shumpert, 3-and-D skills. And to play this well on defense, even without those guys, it's really encouraging. And I think a lot of it goes back to Clint Capella, because as mentioned, this entire season, the story for the Rockets, their most consistent issue on the defensive end, it has not really been dribble penetration. It's been that way at times, but in terms of the metrics, where have they been bottom five all season long? It's defensive rebounding. So to see against a team with so many bigs, so much length, and with Ibaka and Gasol, some pretty traditional bigs, Gasol, by the way, was minus 30 in his 18 minutes. Boy, did the Rockets torch him. But I thought Clint Capella did a great job of staying on the floor, matching their physicality, and it'll be forgotten a bit because he had just 9 points. But for Capella's career, there's kind of been this question hovering over him, certainly with the Warriors, but I would say overall, with just top-notch opponents in general, can he stay on the floor in a league where there is so much emphasis on pace and space? And of course, with Capella, he's had some free throw issues as well. Fortunately, he seems to have cleaned that up. Well, to see him go 34 minutes, in Clint's case in particular, stamina has also been an issue. I don't think he's all the way back, not physically, but it's more in rhythm since missing those 15 games with thumb surgery nearly 6 weeks from mid-January until after the All-Star break. But seeing him put up 15 boards in 34 minutes, also largely staying out of foul trouble, he got 3 fouls in the middle of the first half, and Mike D'Antoni trusted him to stay out there, finish with just 4 for the game, which I think speaks to the discipline at which he plays. And that's another thing, that Mike D'Antoni can trust him. It's rare to have a big that you can trust, especially when they get in early foul trouble, to leave out there because they are able to stay disciplined. Think back to when the Rockets had Dwight Howard, who I'm not hating on Dwight at all as a player, but yeah, he did commit some silly fouls. You didn't necessarily have that trust that you could leave him on the floor when things got chippy. Tonight you could, and Capella, even after some early foul trouble, some questionable officiating early in the game, he stayed out there, 15 rebounds. So to me, he's the unsung hero from tonight. It wasn't as impactful as James Harden's fourth quarter. Defensively, the team collectively as a whole, and I think Austin Rivers, especially combined with his shooting, you notice that more. But I just think Capella on the middle against a very big Toronto team in their gym, his ability to stay on the floor, his ability to rebound, the tenacity, the steadying presence that he played with. Part of the reason that Toronto never really got on an extended run was that it felt like the Rockets weren't giving up those second chance points. Toronto, it felt like in the fourth quarter, they had to make that first shot or Capella was there to get the board. So I don't know that he's in peak form yet. There's some interesting comments by Gerald Morey on his podcast with Zach Lowe over at ESPN from the Sloan Conference this weekend about Capella starting the season a bit slow, maybe the same being true coming back from the All-Star break after the injury, meaning that takes him some time, perhaps mentally, to get back into form. Tonight, I don't know that he was all the way back in terms of the crispness of his rotations, but in terms of just his mentality, physically, I thought he answered the bell. A young center in that gym against some veteran bigs like Ibaka and Gasol, the Raptors wanted to beat Houston up. They couldn't do it. Capella matched their physicality, and even a night that the Rockets stood out in terms of their perimeter play, certainly defensively in the early going, and later on, James Harden on the offensive end, Austin Rivers and Gerald Green combining for 31 points helped as well. Don't forget that against a much bigger team in their house, they nearly held their own with regards to rebounding, something that's been their bugaboo all season long. And Clint Capella, even if he's not quite 100% physically and mentally yet, this was a really encouraging game for him as well. And on a night that's really encouraging for the Rockets, it's pretty hard, let's be real, not to find the guy that you can't be encouraged about. Even Chris Paul, who's one of 10, I thought looked pretty good in the fourth quarter. 10 assists overall, 6 boards, and even though his shot wasn't falling, he was plus 13, which is the best of any Rockets starter, and on a game in which so many things went right, that only seems fitting. So on that positive note, that's where we'll wrap it on this Tuesday evening. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, and if you want more content before our next episode, best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, don't hesitate to hit me up that way if I can help you out. Also, Facebook account, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, website lockedonrockets.com. Always you can access our prior content or, as stated, ask me questions about the team, advertising inquiries, you name it. We want this to be the best source for you as a Rockets fan, but we also want to improve this experience for you as a human being if we can as well. Also, even if you can't advertise yourself, you can still help us out by subscribing, and, well, you can help yourself out that way as well. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Megaphone, so on and so forth. Subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. If you do that, you'll get the benefit of episodes delivered right to your inbox even before I'm able to post them, and we'll get the benefit with your subscription and hopefully a 5-star review of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping the business model rolling as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Once again, the happy final one last time from Toronto. Rockets 107, Raptors 95 is the 6th consecutive win for the Rockets. 39-25, a season high, 14 games above 500. They're now tied for the West number 3 seed at 39-25 with Oklahoma City and Portland. But by virtue of being the division leader at the moment, if the season ended today, they would win that tie and be the West number 3 seed. They've made up 4 games in just a couple of weeks, or about 2.5, I should say. What a run it is for the Rockets, and it continues on Friday, hopefully, when the Rockets get back home. Hopefully the crowd at Toyota Center rewards them with a loud ovation, and the Rockets are going to need energy against another top Eastern team, Philadelphia. Joel Embiid, most likely, certainly Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler. That's a team that embarrassed the Rockets in January. They'll have their opportunity to get revenge for that and hopefully extend their current winning streak to a season-best 7 on Friday night at Toyota Center. Hopefully I'll see many of you guys then. Before then, though, of course, we'll have more episodes breaking down the team's recent play and everything else right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball. Until next time, how sweet it is. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your evenings.